Okay, so welcome everybody to the month of June and our FNC, Functional Nutrition Coach Office Hours. This is your chance to hear from one of our amazing coaches. We started this a couple of years ago because people were like, when we would choose a coach, they were like, but I want this person because I like what they have to say. I like this person because what they have to say. And so to give people that chance to experience all the coaches and all their brilliance, we decided to have each one come on a different month and share. And so that way you get to hear them and ask them questions and learn more from them. And we share the brilliance all around. And so Janet is going to talk to us more about our thoughts. I know a couple of 2-3 months ago, we had Drina talking about thoughts in the brain and everything along with that. If you happen to have been on the vital health topic yesterday, we touched on it a little bit with Laura Ricci talking about self-care and how it really starts with your thoughts about yourself. And so this is just a perfect way to bring this in. And really, it's showing us the importance of how we think about ourselves, the truth. So without further ado, here is Janet Books, and she'll share more of herself as well.
Thank you, Lynn, and welcome, everyone. So this topic today is your thoughts really do run the show. And we're going to delve into thoughts, and we're going to add a little science to it. But mostly we're going to talk about our thoughts and how our thoughts are really dominating the show. So we'll do a little comparative analysis to begin with. We'll compare breath and thoughts, breathing and thinking. Of course, we know for survival that we have to breathe. We can get away without eating for a few days. We can go without water for longer than that. No, shorter than that. Much shorter than eating. But with breath, we're a matter of minutes, and then we cease to exist as we know life here. So breathing is extremely important in this life experience that we have here. We breathe about 900 breaths an hour. That's 21,600 breaths a day. That's a lot of breathing. A lot of in and out. It's fast or slow. It's short or long. It's deep or shallow. It can be controlled. It can be out of control. But lots of breathing going on. Now let's follow the breath for just a minute. Let's take the breath in on the inhale. It crosses the lungs and the tissues there. It enters the bloodstream. It travels to the organs. It exchanges the oxygen for the CO2. It exits the cells, goes back into the bloodstream, back up to the lungs, and we exhale. Breathe. This is a profound phenomena, this breathing that we do. That was a little capsule of what breath is about. But we want to just do this brief analysis with thoughts. So we have about 2,500 thoughts an hour. Oh, so way more thoughts an hour than we breathe. So 60 to 70,000 approximately thoughts in a day. And the interesting thing about that is that 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts we were thinking the day before, or the day before that, or last week, or last month or last year or 10 or 15 years ago. The same thoughts. And oftentimes we will repeat one thought multiple times in a day. So, and another interesting piece of information is that 80% of those thoughts are negative. How do we ever function at all with 90% of our thoughts being the same and 80% of those being negative? It's amazing that we can navigate it all. So we're going to go a little bit more into thoughts. Now, thoughts are language of the brain and feelings are language of the body. We have all these nice little romantic quotes that we have, but basically the feelings and the thoughts are emotions that make up mood, that become our beliefs, that become our personality and our personal reality. The personal reality is who we really are. These steps of these thoughts become the being that we are right here. Thoughts are energy. Now, it's a concept a little bit different than our breathing, but not too much different. When you have your breath and your thoughts, you can't take them out and set them down on the table or put them over here on the counter. We're dealing with some transparencies here that we have to become familiar with and a little comfortable with. So we're going to talk about where thoughts come from, where they live. Here's my little stick person. It's got a really great big head, it's got a little body, little legs, little arms, and he has this little antennas up here. It looks like he has a butch haircut. This is the subconscious, this is the conscious, and this represents the senses that we have, the sight, the sound, the touch, all of those, hearing. So in the subconscious mind, we know that at birth, we start to take in all of the data. Data is the subconscious. Even before birth, data can be gathered. Data comes in up to about 6 or 7 years of age, totally unfiltered. Comes into us, goes into this database, all this information, all the experience that we have, go into the data. Now, about 6 or 7, our vocabulary becomes big enough that we become more expressive, and then we experience more of the conscious mind, which is the mind of choice, where we get to say yes and no and maybe, or I'll think about it. So when we have this accumulation of the data and the conscious mind, we want to remember that everything now that we have learned from birth to date, everything that we have learned and experienced to right now is in that database in the subconscious mind. And it's available for us when all these sensory perceptors we have going out here, taking in all kinds of emotions, to have this data tied together. It's referenced and cross-referenced and categorized. And every time we have a thought, all this information is going to come up and come to this presence in our mind. It kind of overrides everything else. And we go into the story. So we might be driving down the road and a song comes on the radio. And all of a sudden we're back in high school or we're at somebody's wedding, or it'll take us wherever all of that data references, and it brings it back right now to where you are. And if we don't get out of that thought pattern, we remain in it. And another interesting fact is that when we remain in this thought pattern, we enhance it. The emotion drives the thoughts that turn on the circuits in the brain for pain and anguish, basically. They process these neuropeptides, and that signals these hormone centers, and then they have a rush of hormones that go into the system, and that high negative loop is where we're caught in this story. Now, that was a little sequence of events, just like the breath coming into the lungs and getting into the bloodstream and then all of our exhale and that. This is how the thoughts run through the system. So this thought process that we have takes over, overrides the system unless we use our consciousness to do the choice yes or no. All of these negative information, pieces of data come up, and we get into this vision, this experience of the past. Now, our eyes are only visual for our sensory perceptors. There is no vision in the brain. So when we have these thoughts come in, it doesn't know here in the brain pattern whether we are actually seeing and being a part of this experience or if we are remembering it. Therefore, it will take this information and run it through the system just as it had before. That brings up the fight or flight. We know in the animal kingdom, of course, they have to fight to the death, or they have to run to save themselves, or they freeze and try to hide and hope they survive. After all of that high rate of energy is in the system, being ready to do any of those possibilities, the event is over, the system settles back down. They go back to grazing on some grass over here or getting a drink out of the creek over there, and they just mosey on about their business. With a human, we have the subconscious and the conscious, where we have all of this data that comes in and stays. In our system, unless we consciously choose to go back to the present moment, which is a neutral ground, we remain in this high level of stress. Now, remember that the 80% of the thoughts are negative. And science has proven, because of all of this great technology that we have, that we enhance these thoughts, these negative thoughts of the past, to the point where they become lies. Now, that's kind of hard to believe, but you know, if you think about it a little bit, I can remember thinking about something and the story getting pretty exaggerated and thinking, wow, where is this going? What's happening with this story? Well, the body has been now conditioned with this emotion that releases the chemicals that trigger the hormones to go through the system that say, okay, we have to be on high alert now. And we're going to shut down everything that isn't necessary. We're going to reduce the digestion. We're going to worry about the kidneys or the bile ducts or any of these things. We are going to be ready to move if we need to. Now, this can be from a real life experience with you in the office and your boss is standing there screaming at you and getting red in the face and you're not sure if he's going to throw a punch or not. So the system is ready. Or if this is from a memory that you've had in the past. We know from the information we just talked about that 90% of the time we are in the past in those memories. So we're holding this high level of stress. Now, the body is getting used to this. This has become the normal. Instead of going up to, well, we'll use a few numbers just to have a picture in our mind. So we go up to an 8 or 9 with a stress level. And maybe we come down to a 5 or 6 and we think, well, boy, I'm nice and relaxed now. Well, we probably need to be down around a 2 or a 3. But we stay at this high point of stress. Now, the body has become accustomed to this. It says, oh, so we're going to live in this place right here. And after a while, the body says, you know, I'm really kind of liking this drama thing. I like these narcotic substances that are coming through. It gets me a little high. So I think I want to have a little bit more of this. Now, we know through when we work with the program with Dr. Rita Marie and the systems with the digestion particularly, that we have information that comes from the brain, comes down through the adrenals, the thyroid and digestive system. And in the gut, we have information centers that go back to the brain and say to the brain, hey, it's getting pretty acidy down here. You know, it's got to send some other hormones and things down here and straighten this out a little bit. It's getting kind of ugly. Well, when we have these stresses that come into us and go to the cellular level in our body, we have the same information that is making this loop goes back up to the brain as well. And I was saying, you know, I'm really liking this, so give us some more. Well, the only way we get this negative rush of chemical into our system is either through a real life experience or through our memory. We know we're working through our memory most of the time. So the subconscious says, well, sure, and you're thinking about, you know, this accident you were in and this person was being reckless and careless, and I will just pull up the data that will match that. Now remember, we've been gathering this data since we were born or before, cross-referenced everything with every sensor that we have. So the subconscious says, well, let's see now. We watched a movie and that had some pretty horrific things in it. I can attach all of that to it. And you read this book. We've got some pieces in there that will attach. And you went to the movie. And we remembered there was somebody else's story that kind of went along with this whole scene. So that gives more input, goes to the brain, comes back down through the body into the hormones, and gives the body another rush. So this is all recorded. Everything that we do is recorded. It's amazing to me, as I've been learning more about this, I know these things. I know that it's there. I remember it. But I forget how it's used. And for much of it, I didn't realize how it was being used. I was aware that I was thinking thoughts and telling stories in my head. And it was sometime probably when I was in college that I realized that other people were thinking thoughts in their heads. They had voices too. You know, we all kind of share the story. But I didn't realize what they were doing. I didn't realize the impact these energetic forces have in our head. So at this point, we need to take a look at how the mind is really working with some neuron receptors in the brain. We've known this for a long time. This isn't new information, but it's becoming more readily available and talked about. And you can Google it and find it very easily. But the brain is full of all of these little tentacles that are just moving around, these neuron receptors. And they're just floating around in the brain. When you look at it on the screen, it kind of looks like some kind of sea urchin or animal or something out there. And some of them are quite attached and some of them are not. And then they stick and then they leave and they're back and forth. Well, unless someone explains a little bit about this to you, what's going on, it just doesn't make any sense. So that's interesting. Whatever. Well, the ones that are attached are the ones that are having memory, energy from thoughts and our emotions make these attach. These become forefront in our mind. These are the ones that we pick up and we go to constantly. The other ones are ones that, you know, we have a little bit of energy going to them, but not much. They stay and then they break apart and they come and go, move back and forth. But some of them really stay attached. So just for simplicity's sake today, we'll say that this one right here is brushing your teeth. You may not have a lot of emotion attached to it. We brushed our teeth since we were way little. it might be a good experience or might be a bad experience, but it does have emotion attached to it. It does have energy. This energy creates an attachment. The attachment is made more solid because of repetition. The more we think about it, the more energy we place on it, the longer that stays in touch. So that one's pretty solid, which is a good thing. We don't want to have a sticky note to remind us to brush our teeth or remember how to do it every day. So this is a pretty good thing. We don't mind that being there. So say we have another one over here. And say this one is about food. We're always talking about nutrition and about eating. And we got one that's pretty stuck here. It's some habits that we have about food. It's a go-to thing. We've just done it for years. And it's pretty established. We eat 2-3 times a day, some people a lot more. And so that is a pretty established connection here in this connectivity. Because of repeat, it's there. It doesn't wander around like these other ones. Maybe this one right here, say it was playing the piano, and every day you practiced and you played it for a while, and then you decided, oh, I'm going to play the saxophone. So you start playing the saxophone and you get a real attachment here. Well, because you're not playing the piano all the time and you're not giving it energy repeated daily, this one starts to pull apart and this one becomes more attached. Now, when we're doing this with food and we're eating, say, mashed potatoes and gravy and the broccoli has a cheese sauce on it, And this is not healthy for us after a while. We're finding out this is just not working. And we want to change that pattern. Now, you can change different ways you approach. You can make temporary alterations in your daily habits. But when you need to change this thought out, it needs to break apart. Now, physics knows this. You know, Einstein put it out there fairly clearly, and Aristotle and a few others, that when you have a connectivity and you want to break it, we can't go do surgery in there and cut apart all the negative ones we don't want. We have to reverse this in a different way by putting attention on a new thought. So instead of saying, oh, I have all of these bad habits around this food and I really like them and I don't want to give them up and they become negative and we're giving more and more energy and this thing is getting more and more attached. So it's making it extremely difficult for us to change that behavior, that pattern. So we do a positive in another way. I say, I enjoy salad. I like vegetables better than just green salad. And so this connectivity is getting started. Still talking about eating, so this one's here, but this one's negative. This one has the positive energy. And I think, well, I like vegetables. I kind of get tired of them plain, but I can make a sauce and put on them. I can do something with a cashew dip and dip them in it. And more, I'm thinking about the positive good things and how good it's tasting. And this one starts to come apart. This one now is becoming more connected. This one is starting to break up. Now, I'll never forget the meat potatoes and the cheese sauce. It will always be there. But it's not repetition. The energy is not being repeated to make that stay together. So this is why some of the new things that we learn and we try so desperately to have a part of an exercise program or eating program or whatever new thing that we want to do, is that until we put more emphasis on the positive thing that we are doing, this negative one is going to override and it's going to stay in there really strong. When you quit giving it the attention and the energy, it pulls apart and this one builds. They talk about 21 days as the magic number for it. Well, it probably is starting to attach in 21 days. This one probably is not detaching very much in 21 days. And the optimal goal is to have this one detach so that this one becomes more attached so that we have this process that we're now doing. So we stay at this high level so much when we're back in this daily 90% thinking negative thoughts that we are now living in the hormones of stress. We know how we're attaching them with negative thoughts. They're coming together and they're staying really attached. And the body becomes so conditioned and addicted to the negative thoughts, because we talk about now we're addicted to it. The body says, oh yeah, so we're here and I like it. So give me more of that. I want more. So now we are emotionally with our thoughts and chemically in our body established at this normal and living in hormones of stress. And we do this for 20, 30, 40 years. This is who we are now. This becomes our personal reality. So now the body believes and it's the same experience and it's reliving it because it doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's become created by our thoughts. So this is getting a little depressing here, you know? We're thinking 90% of negative thoughts, or 90% of the same thoughts, 80% of them are negative, and then we're increasing them to the point of lies. And now we have all those neuron transmitters up here wiring and firing together, and we know a little bit about how to get them apart. But what are we going to do with this? Now, before we go into how to fix or how to work on this, I want to talk a little bit more about this chemical reaction that's happening in our body. Because in the ERC program, everyone is working for a healthier, happier, fuller, more enthusiastic, happy life. And as we work really hard at this, we find that in months or a year or so, we backslide. And we have worked so hard. And we've really, really tried and put a lot of money and thought and energy into it. And we just have trouble staying there. So these chemicals, we have this cascade of chemicals. So we have the thought that comes into the brain, comes into the frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is like the conductor of the orchestra in the brain. And he distributes everything up there in the brain. So this negative thought comes in. And the chemicals are sent out, goes down into the adrenals, goes to the thyroid, goes down into the digestive system. We're getting it all the way down to the cellular level. We are at the cells. And these chemicals are hitting these same genes in the cells again and again and again. And they're causing long-term effects. This is down-regulating the protein that is produced by the genes, and it's pushing the genetic buttons for disease. Now, we know through going with the genetics that Dr. Rita Marie has taken us through that we have genes from mom and dad, and we get those that are both negative, and they're very fragile. This can alert us that this genetic can cause, optimal worst scenario would be cancer, thyroid, Hashimoto's, all kinds of different things can come up by these genes not being fully supported. Well, if we have these rush of chemicals that are coming in and they're at the cell level, and instead of supporting these genes, they are breaking them down, and the breakdown comes by the gene in each cell not being able to produce a high level of protein, which is very necessary for the mitochondria to get the energy to do whatever this cell is supposed to be doing in this genetic DNA string here. So when we have a reduced product, when we got a cheaper product, the cell can't operate optimally. It can't even work halfway. And so it starts to deteriorate and break down. So the scientific thing is the differential expression of genes allows a cell to produce the required amount of protein for the function of the cell, or the lack of function when it's interrupted in a process. This process can come from an injury, say you're cut, or you know, you break an arm or a leg, you're in a car accident, you fall out of the tree or whatever. It can come in different ways, but for us and most people, it comes from this downregulation that's going on. Now, of course, this can come in other ways in our food, but primarily we're talking about our thoughts and what our thoughts are doing to our body. So if you start your day with thoughts of the past, you're now creating a predictable future with the habits that reinforce it, and now you are on autopilot for the rest of the day. And if we continue to do this, we're creating the same connections in the brain, we're emitting the same hormones, we're releasing the same narcotics, and we're hitting those same genes and we're breaking them down. And we're headed for an undesirable outcome. The body becomes the program now. And if you are not in the present moment, it will be running from old predictable programs and emotions driven from thoughts of the past. It's a wonder that we make it to 25 years of age with all of this. Well, we do because we don't have so many negative thoughts going on. We haven't created many. But the issue is we have them. And there are good thoughts. And there is good data to be used. We need to pull on some of that data for some of the things that we need to do in a positive way. But negative thoughts never create the space or the opportunity for solution. The positive thoughts are where we have that opportunity. So, how do we fix it? Can we fix it? Right now, do you even want to bother to try and fix it? Of course we do. Our thoughts are just phenomenal when you stop and think about it. I just didn't have this real awareness in myself for a long time. And as I started studying it and trying to figure out why the success rate for people who put all the money into going to the gym and buying all of these supplements and working so hard and then falling back and just giving up. What is the other part of this that is so important to being successful? So the thoughts are there. The data's there. You can't get rid of it. It's still coming in and it's still coming up. But when it comes up, we now have awareness of this process. And this is like what Dr. Rita Marie always talks about. It's going to the root cause. What are our thoughts doing? Where are they? What are we thinking about? As soon as you recognize that, you've slowed down that negative thought. You are beginning to come back to the present moment. When you are in the present moment and you're standing there very solid, you're not in the past and you're not in the future. You are right here. You are in neutral ground. You just put in the clutch and you're just coasting for a minute. And the body takes a deep breath and says, oh my goodness, thank you. Take a breath. And there's the breath again. So we have awareness and we are in the present moment. Remember that the conscious mind is the mind of choice. This is where the power really lies. We've given the power over. We've gone on autopilot. Take back the power with the power of choice. You can choose to keep thinking that thought, or you can choose to let that thought go. Maybe you want to keep that thought because it's helping you work on a project in your business at work, and you want to keep that thought going. It's keeping you open. It's giving you vision. It's moving you forward. But we know that 90% of them are not, and it's pulling us back. We aren't even in neutral. So we have the power of choice, and we begin to use this power. Now, to increase the power of choice is learning new information. And we talked a little bit about the frontal lobe. Frontal lobe is 40% of the brain, and it is also the creative center. And it's turned on by thoughts of energy, high energy. Well, it's turned on by any amount of energy, but if it's low energy, we're not getting very much out of it. But it's energy. We know that in food, from learning about all the nutrition, that some foods have very low energy. Hostess Twinkies, Doritos, M&Ms. These are real low energy substances. We can't even really call them food. They're chemicals that have been combined together with lots of salt and sugar and smells and things and advertising that we think we need to have. But they have low energy. The energy is so low that when it comes into our system, instead of adding to building good solid proteins for these genes, we are using energy to get rid of the chemical, to get it out of our system, and we ended up more depleted than when we ate it in the first place. So we have the high energy foods you know about, you know, the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and the spinach and the nuts and the berries and the seeds. All of these are high energy. Energy is brought together as matter through connectivity. Thoughts and feelings come together in emotions. When we use words that are emotionally positive and inspiring, they are high energy. So if you use just a phrase, for example, what would it be like? When you just think that, you went from being in the present motion of neutral in the present moment, you just kind of went into the future a little bit. And that felt really good. I wonder what it would be like if. You have to think about the Wright brothers. They had to wonder a lot to get that plane in the air. And they just kept wondering what would it be like and how is it going to be? That excitement, that energy was in the frontal lobe producing all of this positive information going to the pituitary gland, releasing these hormones, going in there to the thyroid, getting that T3, T4 conversion just right, keeping the adrenals, getting that insulin, those cortisol levels just right. All of this positive, all of this energy is supporting the system. We know that the word gratitude has tremendous energy. Love, joy, compassion, all of these have high energy. Taking back our power, choosing high energy foods, high energy thoughts, high energy activities, all of these high energy emotions all kick in for us. Whenever you make your brain work differently, you're changing your mind because the mind is the brain in action. So we just challenge it with some, what would it be like? And I wonder. And then we go into purchasing some books. We go into learning another program. We go to a seminar. We are challenging our mind with more high energy, positively directed thoughts in our brain. Now what are we doing to those genes? How are we supporting them now? They're working to their optimal. And those that came to us that were negative, double negative, are being supported to the point that they aren't breaking down either. Knowledge for the mind and experience for the body. These are the things that keep our thoughts positive and our energy high. New experiences and emotion create new thoughts and new gene expressions. We've gone to the cellular level. We've gone from taking the breath on the inhale to the exhale. We've gone from moving some of those negative thoughts into a positive thought. We know that when we have that neuron connections up here, if we want to break a negative, we're going to encourage a positive. The negative will take care of itself. Always encouraging the positive, always watching for it, always being aware, being in touch, get to that present moment, kick into neutral, and take a look at what you're thinking. Clear intentions and elevated emotion show the changes from living in the past to living in the future. Positive emotions that you see in the future are the ones that will carry you there. The emotions that you remain in the past will turn into lies even. And they will dig you even deeper in to more of the same, of living in the negativity. This is just a very brief comment I want to make here at the end. We have all had trauma in our life at some point in time. Typically, it's going to be in the very early part of our life where we don't have enough expression to be able to have voice and say no or help or protect me or whatever. These traumas stop the progress of growth and learning in that particular area, in that physiology. It's stopped right there. Everything else will go on as normal. Everything else will be continued along. But this and the emotions that were accumulated with those experiences will stay right there. Now, when we get into trauma situations, it's different than working with just negative emotions, the repeating day in, day out. They may come from there. It might be springing from there. But changing some of that trauma is a lot different than changing by impression of positivity. This trauma has to be released, and it needs to be worked through, typically on a one-on-one experience with a qualified therapist. Those of us that are in energy healing with Laura Fine. Laura Fine is an excellent resource. So is Kimberly Ward. And there are several of us now that are in the program that can help with that. So be aware that when you have deep trauma issues to work with, you need to do another learning experience to take care of that part. So today, I hope that I have brought some encouragement, some enlightenment, some ideas about what your thoughts are, why they're there, where they have come from, how they build up, how you can actually let them release. We're not breaking them down. We don't have that. We always build positive and let the negative release on its own. Taking you into a happier, healthier life with the use of the seven pyramids, the foundations that we have with Dr. Rita Marie. She touches on that heavily in many aspects. So if you're not defined by your vision of your future, you are left behind living in the memories of your past. It's a choice, and you get to choose. Take back your power. Thank you.
There we go. I shut my camera off because I felt like it was dragging too much on the internet, and I wanted people to be able to hear you. So this was excellent. This was, I know I needed to hear many, many levels of this. And what's beautiful is then we'll get the recording and you can download it and carry it with you, like on your phone or whatever it is you listen to. Does anybody have any questions? I know there were a lot of comments people were making.
And I will be anxious to have the recording because when I'm speaking, I get so into it. I'm not reading anything in the chat. So I don't know. I don't know what you're saying about me. Maybe I should watch so I can know that this is the tip of the iceberg. This was a little tiny capsule of thoughts, just like it was with the breath. So you can reach me at my on my email. Maybe someone can put it in the chat. It's janetmarieb5@gmail.com. If you have questions or you are interested, if you want to book
it. It's at Gmail, right?
It's at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And we can explore more about this.
Yeah. So some of the things that we've said, Lynn Rose said, when they wire together, they conspire together.
Yes, they wire and conspire as well as fire. I love it.
I know. And I was sharing, I know for me, it's when, like right now we're in sweet spot, and so I'm reading everything on blood sugar and whatever, and then somebody will ask me a digestion question. I have to kind of like shake my head, or, you know, like get the wiring going back that way, and or maybe have to go back and refresh and something. So there was that piece. And, you know, it reminded me some of the things you were talking about, actually, about their scriptures, you know, like as a man thinketh, whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, think on these things. You know, so we're told in so many ways these things that you're sharing with us. Diana said, the more we practice something, repeat, the more it gets reinforced. Change is hard, but it can be done. And I invite you all to think about that statement, change is hard. That is a belief. Choose to think that change just flows. I can receive change easily and with grace, that it just happens.
Wayne Dyer, I used to go to his seminars as many times as I could to see him in live. I was at the last one he did in our area in July before he passed in September. And he always used to say that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Now, how easy is that? Change is not hard. Uh-huh. Just how you look at it. And then you look at it again and it's changed. It's different.
Exactly. Yeah, and just it's asking you to be aware. Because sometimes we just kind of go through life. Like you said, you wake up and it's like, vroom, somebody pulls the chain on you and you're just like, okay, I'm going here. Where am I going next? And we don't pay attention. It's like we don't even live in our body, let alone know where our breath is. And so that's a really good point. Lynn Rose said, make a new habit that's healthy instead. And Diana was saying, have to adjust that thinking pattern while making that change. Lynn Rose, when you get the urge, go for a walk somewhere. Let's see.
Our body tells us what it wants. It tells us what to do.
Yeah.
But when it gets in that negative loop, it's going to tell you what it is wanting in that particular place. So you have to get the awareness going back again, because we have the power of choice.
Yeah.
We can choose.
Yeah. Lynn Rose was talking about it as neurological soup, neurotransmitter soup. And yeah, molecules of emotion and ocean of emotion.
Yes.
And then the dopamine fix. Right? We want to suppress the fight or flight cascade of epinephrine. And I was just reading about earlier today, when we have inflammation and we're not breathing, it suppresses that dopamine. So, you know, all these things, there's studies and science behind it. You know, they're stuck in the loop, in the rut. And then the epigenetics, you know, I one thing I've been realizing, so one of my, actually most of my ethnic backgrounds have that, come from that lineage and culture of hardship, right? We're all peasants, we're all working ourselves, and then the Armenians had the genocide, and so they had to come across Europe. They lost two babies. I had relatives in Ireland who came across during the Irish starvation. A lot of starvation in my family, jeez, right? And but I get to choose. And actually, I feel like when I choose, that actually heals them, you know, because life is eternal, and we get to be the people that help them.
Epigenetics is one of my big topics, but I can't even touch on it right now.
I hear you.
And of course, we have to remember about balance. It's all about balance.
Absolutely.
It has to be this balance.
Well, balance and flow.
Balance and flow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Diana said the first part is recognizing the thought and then making the decision to change it, then choose the new thought to replace and practice to reinforce. And that's really true because many of you have heard me talk about, because I live where I live and we get ice storms and we get stuck in the ice. And what happens? You have to go back and forth and back and forth. And what do you get? You get a rut. And so you find, you know, you make new changes, you get out of the rut. But you know what you have to be careful of? You don't go back in the rut. You know, because like if the rut is in your driveway, so you park your car, you get back in to go, oh, look what you do. You go right back in that rut. And so you have to be aware where the rut is and continually rebuild a new way to do it. Let's see. I said each one of us is capable of accomplishing extraordinary things in our careers and our lives. The only thing that prevents us from achieving our highest potential is a state of mind. And Lynn says we are always our worst enemies. And I said, and now we get to be our best friend.
And we know all these things, but we still have 90% of our thoughts. And very few of us are not outside of those parameters.
Absolutely. Because just like we start with the foundations, when you come in here and we repeat and repeat and repeat, chew your food, breathe, be still and quiet while you eat, drink your water. And we repeat and repeat and repeat. Why? Because we'll do it for a little bit and then we'll move on to something else and we forget. And that's why we need these continual repeatings of what you're sharing with us to remind.
Because 90% of the time we have data that's negative that comes up and it overrides what you have. Until that brushing your teeth and chewing your food are at the same level of repeat, like you said, with that energy, it's going to fall apart. It's going to break off. It's called pruning. We know that. You're pruning on the neurotransmitters.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, no, we'll fill in those old ruts and we'll have no new ruts.
That's right. Well, you're aware of the rut. You have a tool of thinking about how to fill those ruts. Yep. That makes you feel good so you won't fall back into them, and you are starting to establish that positive connectivity.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else have any thoughts or questions? Okay. Well, with that being said, let us all say thank you to Janet. Thank you, Janet.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, Lynn. Lynn goes, we'll be in the groove. And Diana goes, the groove is just the beginning of a rut.
Now, was that a negative thought or what?
<There you go. laughs>
Sorry. Thank you for the laugh. All right, folks.
Great. Thank you.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.